Are you a single believer looking for the love of your life?
Or are you a married believer looking to grow the love you already have?
If you like practical advice
based on the Word of God
with real life examples,
you're in the right place.
I'm Cindy.
And I'm Wayne.
Welcome to Love with the Lines. Hello, and welcome to Love with the Lines. I'm Cindy.
And I'm Wayne.
And this is episode 84.
Wow, 84. Yes. That was a good year.
It was a good year. Mm-hmm. Yes, we were married in 1984.
We were. Mm-hmm. I remember that.
It's good that you remember it. I remember it, too.
Yep, I remember the highlights of that year. Mm-hmm. That was one of them.
Well, that's good. Anyway, we want to start off our broadcast. We're recording this on Veterans Day, which is celebrated in the United States. I know we have international listeners, but it is a day to honor all the men and women who have served in our armed forces. And so we want to say thank you to all the veterans who may be tuning in. We appreciate you. We appreciate your families and the sacrifice that they made while you served. And we thank you for your service.
Thank you.
Okay, so now what are we going to talk about today?
We are going to continue the discussion we had the last time, which this is talking about, this is the article 40 Lessons from 40 Years of Marriage. It's written by Dennis Rainey, and this is on Family Life's website, which as before, you, my lovely bride, will post the article.
Yes, I'll put the link in the podcast description so people can access
it. Okay. Mm-hmm. So we actually made it up to 10 last time.
Yes. And before we start with number 11, just a reminder that when we started this the last time, we shared that we are giving you our cold response to this. Typically, we read through articles, we prepare, we make notes before we record, but we decided we would just look at these and give you our initial reaction. So you're getting unscripted reactions as we go through these 40 things.
Whatever they are.
40 things.
Yeah, 40 topics. How about it?
Yeah. Okay, so what's number 11?
So number 11, what you remember is just as important as what you forget. Well, that's an interesting statement.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So they say we tend to suffer from spiritual amnesia, wanting to remember God's faithfulness. I started a spiritual milestone file in 1998. It now has 920 reminders in it.
Wow.
Remembrances of the little things and the big things, milestones that God did. So that's Dennis Rainey speaking there. Milestones remind us of three things: what God has done, who God is, his provisions, care, deliverance, and the need to trust God and walk by faith. So basically, it's a list of blessings.
Yes, or ways that God has worked in his life. I think that's...
I like that.
We've heard about gratitude journals, but I never thought of a spiritual milestone file. That's interesting.
Mm-hmm. I like that idea. So he goes on to say, when we forget the deeds of God, we will ultimately forget to trust him. Boy, I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's why testimonies are so important. Mm-hmm. Remember what God has done in the past.
Right. And they're also encouraging other people as well.
Yep. So number 12, marriage was designed by God to be missional. So Matthew 28:19 says, go therefore make disciples of all nations. And then he quotes Acts 13:36, for David, after he had served the purpose of God in his own generation, fell asleep. So he says, I want to be this about the purposes of God in my generation with his wife. She's a partner in his ministry. They are not two individual people who are just successfully going their own way. They're two people who work at merging our life purpose and mission together so that we increasingly share it as we move toward the finish line. Ooh, I like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that description of it. Mm-hmm. Merge your life purposes and mission together.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I like that.
Yeah. Let's see. He goes on to say, the other evening that he and his wife sat in their living room in two chairs that they bought in 1972 for $5 a piece. They've been reupholstered 3 times. Hmm. We've had some furniture like that. He says that they sat in those chairs talking about, should we reupholster them or go buy new ones? He turned to her and he said, quote, you know what? We have not given our lives to stuff. So now he says, do we live in a nice home? Do we live better than we deserve? Absolutely. But as imperfect as we are, as many struggles as we have, we are headed toward the same mission. We are part of the Great Commission. We want to be fulfilling the Great Commandment together as a couple. And that is to love the Lord with all your heart and all your might and all your soul and to go into the world and make disciples of everybody.
And I like his challenge. He said, my challenge is this, as a couple, believe God for too much rather than too little. Remember what A.W. Tozer said, God is looking for people through whom he can do the impossible. What a pity we plan to do the things we can only do by ourselves. Wow, isn't that the truth?
Yeah, that is the truth.
Yeah. Life can wear you down. It can wear you out. Disappointment chips away at faith. As a couple, you have to work on this to go to the finish line.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Wow. I like that belief for too much rather than too little.
Yes. Noelle, that's, I know in business seminars that I've attended, that are for Christian entrepreneurs, they talk about you have to have a dream that's so big you can't possibly do it on your own.
Right.
You know, when you're involving God in your business. So it makes sense. It works the same in your life and your marriage.
So number 13, it's okay to have one rookie season, but it's not okay to repeatedly repeat it. So if anybody else out there is sport challenged like I am,
so you
how would you define?
How would I describe that? Because you don't know what that means.
Well, I'm assuming that. I mean, if I think of a rookie season, I just think of somebody's first year.
That's correct.
Is that correct?
That is correct.
Wow, look at me with sports knowledge.
Look, you. There you go.
Okay, so don't repeat the mistakes you made in the first year more than the first year.
Right.
Is that kind of what we're saying here?
Yes.
Okay. Well, yes. Hey, let's see what he has to say. I was an idiot in our first 12 months of marriage, repeatedly ignoring the dignity of the woman that God had brought me. The lessons that you learn need to be applied. It's not good to repeat rookie mistakes in your 39th season of marriage. Okay.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
And you have to give yourself grace. If you're in your first year of marriage, if you're considering getting married or getting engaged and planning to be married, if you're engaged, it's rough to learn to live with another person. I mean, you don't know what they're like. And the thing that's very interesting, if you are somebody out there who subscribes to the idea that living together before marriage gets you ready for marriage, there's actually research that shows that people change even when they've lived together for many, many years, that once they get married, that things change. And so you have to give yourself some grace during that time when you're learning to live together and learning about each other and learning what the other person likes and what they don't like. And and it still, it takes years and years to learn all these things.
Well, I know I taught welding school for like 20 years, and I know I had a student one time, and this was, I mean, this has been a long time ago, but him and his live-in partner, that was at the time when if you were married 7 years, you were considered law or common law.
Yes.
Marriage. Mm-hmm. So they would live together for like 6 3/4 years, and then they would separate for a couple months, and then they would come back together again, and then 6 3/4 years later, they'd split again. They did that 3 times.
Because they didn't want to be married?
Because they didn't want to get married. And then they finally figured out, we've been together this many years, let's just get married. They got married and they were divorced within 6 months.
Wow. Yep. That's a great example of it. That is crazy.
That's crazy.
Yes. There's a different expectation with the marriage commitment.
And that's what I told that. And I was talking to the guy. It's like, what happened? He said, I have no idea. He said, I can't explain it. He said, it was just different. So, yeah, crazy.
So number 14 is never use the D word in your marriage. And he goes on to say, never threaten divorce in your marriage. Never let the D word cross your lips, ever. Instead, use the C word. Commitment, covenant, covenant keeping love that says, I'd marry you all over again. And he said that he could still remember an argument that his parents had when he was 5 years old and divorce was not in vogue. Your kids are highly sensitized to what your relationship is like mm-hmm. and how you communicate when you disagree. Let them hear of your commitment to one another.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Number 15.
Yep.
Honor your parents. Exodus 20:12 is the first commandment with a promise. Honor your father and mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Our marriage was brought to life as we honor our parents. We are a generation that has bashed and blamed our parents. Boy, isn't that the truth?
Mm-hmm.
Ignoring this commandment, it's time for us to return home to our parents with honor. A practical way you can do that is by writing them a tribute and then reading it to them. Well, that's an awesome idea.
That'd be a nice gift.
Yeah, it would be.
Because your parents don't need anything.
Right, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's what he goes on to say. Instead of giving them a dustbuster or a tie or a pair of house slippers.
Oh, yeah. He goes on and says exactly what I just said. Give them a tribute, thanking them for what they did right.
Mm-hmm. I like that idea. That's great.
Oh, yeah. They said they both did it with their parents and it was real life giving.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's... And there's a difference between honoring your parents and being tied to your parents. Mm-hmm. So this is making sure that you are putting your spouse first.
Mm-hmm.
That you are taking their side over... over a parent's side.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of marriages fail because one spouse is still too attached to either mom or dad, depending on what it is. And so you definitely need to be committed to each other. And that has to be more important than your commitment to your parents. But it is still right to honor your parents.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
There's that balance in
right.
there.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Let's see. What's number 16?
16's interesting.
Oh, different isn't wrong. It's just different. Dennis goes, yeah. Dennis goes on to say, we marry one another because we're different and we divorce each other because we're different. He says when he and his wife moved into the empty nest phase, they discovered that they were much more different than they had ever imagined. And he said, here's the key. Your spouse's differences are new capacities that mm-hmm. God has brought to your life to complete you. He shares Barbara is an artist, and as they began their empty nest years, he told her, wherever you go, you make things beautiful. You see, I didn't appreciate beauty. I had no idea how beauty reflected the glory of God. Your spouse is God's added dimension to your life.
Hmm. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, talk about perspective.
Right. And I think we've talked about this before when you mm-hmm. were on the road for 10 years and then you came home. It was, I had created a whole different life.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had to learn to live together again. And it was like being newlyweds in many ways all over again. But it was frustrating because we had been married for a long time,
mm-hmm.
probably 30 years at that point, or close to 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
And
25 anyway. Yeah.
Yes. And so we had to learn about differences that
mm-hmm.
maybe weren't so prominent before because we were in the child rearing years and then Wayne was on the road and
Yeah, because I remember coming home and it's like, where are you?
Yes. Well, because I had filled my schedule.
I was
going to
say, you filled your schedule.
So.
Well, you were working your perfect hours. So you were working like 10 at night, whatever.
I was working like 10 in the morning till 10 at night or
yeah,
noon
something like
till
that,
10 at night.
Noon to 10 or something like that.
Yeah. And our daughter was in college. So it's like I created this.
And that was without all the meetings and boards and everything
yes,
you had started. Because
yeah.
you didn't.
Because I didn't want to sit around at home by myself. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. What's 17?
Marriage and family are redemptive. He says being married to his wife and having 6 kids saved him from toxic self-absorption. Oh, boy.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good way to put it. The way to have a godly marriage and family is the same path as coming to faith in Christ. It is surrender, giving up your rights to him first, then to your spouse and serving them. And then he says, I have a confession to make. I mistakenly thought that God gave Barbara and me 6 children so that we could raise them. Now I think he gave me 6 children so he could finish the process of helping me grow up. Nothing has taught me more about self-sacrifice and following God's word than loving and leading my children.
Mm, that's a great point.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is.
Parenthood is trying. Even if you have the best kids in the world, mm-hmm. it's still trying and exhausting.
They're still
kids.
And
can be aggravating.
Mm-hmm.
It's wonderful and rewarding and fulfilling. But it's a ride. It is a ride.
And it's funny how our perspective as grandparents have
mm-hmm.
changed our perspective of kids, too. But,
yes. Mm-hmm.
And our daughter was a good kid.
Yes, absolutely. All right, so number 18. A man's wife is his number one disciple.
Mm.
He goes on to share, Bill Bright, the founder of Campus Crusade for Christ, which is now called CREW in the United States, says countless times that a man's wife should be his number one disciple. Husbands, help your wife grow as a Christian. It's the smartest thing you could possibly do. When your wife grows in this area, not only does she triumph at life, but you benefit as well. And I think this goes to the husband needs to be the head of the household, the spiritual head of the household. That doesn't mean that you are better than mm-hmm. your wife. And that's a whole other teaching. And we've talked about that because those are scriptures that are sorely misused to treat women in ways that are not what God designed to happen. Mm-hmm. But I know it's very frustrating for the women who are more advanced in their spiritual growth than their husbands are. They want their husbands to lead them, but lots of times their husbands refuse. Their husbands aren't interested in growing closer to God. They're not interested in growing their walk. So husbands or fiancés, whoever is out there listening, it's your responsibility to be the spiritual head of the household. That means you need to prioritize your time with God. You notice he has said in this article, God first, then his wife, mm-hmm. then his kids. And so you need to prioritize your time to build your relationship with the Father so that you can point your wife and your children to the Father mm-hmm. and to Jesus. Yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
19. Go near the orphan. When you go near the orphan as a couple, you go near the Father's heart. He said him and his wife adopted one of their six kids. He learned about the Father's heart through adoption, of choosing a child and unconditional love. This is pure and undefiled religion.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the last one for this section is number 20, make your home a storm shelter. Dennis shares that he grew up in Southwest Missouri and spent many a night in the cellar down with the potatoes and green beans. It was a musty smelling place. He was down there trying to dodge a tornado that never hit. Well, that's a good thing that it never mm-hmm. hit. He shares that in Matthew 7:24-27, Jesus compares two builders of two homes, both in storm, and that we should get a clue from that. We're going to build our marriage, our family, our home in the midst of storm warnings, floods, wind, and rain. He shared that Barbara's his wife, nearly died on four different occasions. She had a heart rate of more than 300 beats a minute. He said, I often imagined life as a single dad until we got her heart problem fixed. And then there was the 13-year-old son, our athletic son, who was stricken with a rare neurological disorder. There was a prodigal. There was the day my dad died. There were short paychecks in ministry. There were challenges in ministry. All kinds of issues with people. He shares, your marriage covenant is more than just saying I do for a lifetime. It is for better and for worse. Mm-hmm. Make your home a storm shelter, a safe place to go in a storm.
Yep.
What are your thoughts on that?
My thought is he picked a good scripture. Mm-hmm. Yep, Matthew 7:24-27, two builders of two homes. One was not built on rock, right. A good foundation, and the other one was.
It was built on the sand.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yes. Life is going to throw you things. No one is immune, even though we believe that God blesses us and we pray for God's protection. We live in a fallen world and stuff still happens.
Stuff happens.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Stuff still happens.
Right. So, all right. Well, like Wayne said in the beginning, I will put the link to this article in here and you can check out. We've been through numbers 1 through 20 now. And when we see you again, or talk to you again, I guess we won't see you. We'll talk to you. We will go through the next 10 of this 40 years, the wisdom of 40 years of marriage by Dennis Rainey.
Yep. Too bad they can't see us. This is an awesome shirt. And you're cute, too.
I love you, dear.
Good night.
All right.
Now.
Be blessed.
God bless. Bye now.